Welcome. Okay.
Meatloaf.
What?
I need. Which one do I have? Meatloaf by a kid who's going to be growing up in a non-from home.
Correct.
I need to say.
So, yeah, yeah.
I heard the socks are really good. Cousin of mine, whatever.
I
do it.
I think they did it for Jay.
We're not supposed. Okay, but I said today's learning should be a supposed to refuah shalem for Dov Ben Esther, very special yid who needs a big refuah shalem. The oilam already beat me to it. It's talking about Rus a little bit. It's a gishmak a sefer Rus, four prakim, but loaded, packed with information, packed with the very gishmaki sides. But the $1 million question is why we read it on Shavuos. That's really the question. Why you read it on Shavuos? So we know because of David, David's yahrzeit, David's birth, and the last pasuk is Messiah is to David. But there's obviously much, much more than meets the eye to why exactly we read Rus on Shavuos. So if I saw Reb Chaim Kanevsky was very, very much like Sefer Rus. He actually named one of his daughters Rus. And every year on Shavuos, he would try to be mechadesh a new vart for his daughter because of Rus. And he's pointed out two interesting things about Rus. He says, first of all, it's the only place in Chazal where we clearly see she's called an Eishes Chayil. And she's called Eishes Chayil, says that in the Megillah. And then he says also, if you remember, Rus merited to see David, which was three generations. So he held it was like a skula to name your child Rus. You'll merit to see long generations of Yiddish and Achaz. So writes from Chaim Kanevsky. But back to the original question, so why do we read it on Shavuos? So I think one of the lessons they say is because the lesson of one of the many lessons of Rus is Rizus. Don't waste time. Right, Nami tells Rus, go to the field with Boaz. That story obviously is a difficult story to understand, but she doesn't push her off and say, I'll get to it next week. Right away. Now, everything is immediately, because she goes to Boaz right away and everything happens really quickly. And we know Chazal say the night that Boaz married Rus, the next day Boaz died. So if she would have waited, that would have been the end of it. So there's a lesson of Zrizus that we have to hurry up. We have to get moving. You know, don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. Like the classical answer is, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it in a month. You got to do it now. We never know. We're actually going to learn a Gemara hopefully either this week or next week. The Gemara basically says no one knows how long they're going to live. You got to hop around every opportunity. And that was really the time on Pliny Almoini. What exactly was Pliny Almoini's cheshbe for not wanting to do it? This is the famous Biskarov. Biskarov says Pliny Almoini wasn't worried that right now he was doing this. Because if you look in Rashi, Rashi says he was worried about the future generations. Frank Biskarov, what do you mean future generations? If they renege on the deal or the drasha Mayavim Lamayavis, he's doing an aveya. Forget the future generations. So the Biskarov explains, no, he knew right now we have the drasha and Mayavim Lamayavis. Obviously, he was just afraid that in subsequent generations they would take back the drasha and his children would be ruined. So I think one of the lessons from that is don't worry so much about what people are going to say. Do what's right now. And if this is what the right thing is, do it. So Bayaz said, right now this is the right thing. And according to the Biskarov, the machlokes between Bayaz and Pliny Almoini was, can a drasha be overturned? But others, I think, want to say it was more than that. Bayaz had an attitude. What do you mean? Right now, this is what you do. You do. Right. That's where the Biskarov says. Right, because there was a lot of I can't. That's right. That's where the Biskarov says it over. They were arguing about what was the premise of the drasha, Mayavim Lamayavis. But I think others point out that the Taina on Pliny Almoini was, he was too worried about what people are going to say. We live in a world today, everything is perception. What are people going to say? So Bayaz didn't care what people were going to say. He did what's right. On the books, we have a drasha, Mayavim Lamayavis. Go for it. Pliny Almoini was worried what's going to be with the kids Shaduchim and the Einikloch and this and that and the other. And that's why Pliny Almoini goes down as Pliny Almoini. That's it, you know, anonymous in English, even though his name was Toiv, he was Taka special yid. And the flip side, we have Boyaz, it goes down in history. Now, Boyaz is Taka also. Boyaz and Nami are two people that we don't highlight enough in the Megillah. They tired, such a hard life. Boyaz lost 60 children, 30 boys and 30 girls, 60 kids. And that's when he met Rus after he buried his wife. And he's losing 60 kids and a wife at the time he comes and meets Rus. It's fascinating. Naomi also lost a lot in her life, as did Rus. It's really a story of loss and being able to pick up and continue, which is really the Jewish lesson of all the things that we've been through in Klai. So we don't roll over and play dead. We get back up and we start again. And we do even better. It's another lesson, perhaps, from the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay, we left off before Yom Tov. We were talking about on the page that says Shir Chav Dalet. I want to finish up this, and then we got to get moving. A lot more Gemara to see. We were leaving off in the middle of a Shtickle Torah from Mordechai Elephant, where he was trying to explain to us a Yisoid. He was trying to explain to us that the Chiyuv to honor your grandparents are not because they're your father's son, your father's father. And most people assume the reason I have to honor my grandparents is because my grandparents are my parents' parents. It has something to do with that. He says, no, that's not the pshat. He thinks the whole reason why I have to honor your grandparents is because your grandparents are chiyuv to teach you Torah. Like we learned in our Gemara and Kedushin. That since your grandparents are chiyuv to teach you Torah, that's why in return you have a chiyuv to teach them. Meaning it's not a parental or we'll call it biological based chiyuv. It's not because, well, my father is my father and he's my father's father. No, it's not the pshat. It's because my father's father has a chiv to teach me Torah. And lo yitzur, my father's father wouldn't have a chiv to teach me Torah. The mere fact that he's my father's father wouldn't be a reason that I have to honor. That was his. So that's what we're going to get to right now. So Lefiza, first of all, then according to this, you wouldn't have a chiv to honor your grandmother. Right? I'm not saying that that's halacha ma'isa or a good idea, but that's in lumdus that would come out. But this is where we left off at number five. And number five over here on the page that says Sheikh Avdal, he goes a different route. Says Rabbi Elvin, he goes this. Lefiza, move on. He says, if you learn like me, that the whole pshat in the chiyuv to be mechabed your grandparents is reversal. It's backwards. The chiyuv to be mechabed the grandparents is because they have the chiyuv to teach you Torah. So he says, ulefiza moving ma'oz chiluka shel agra. He said, now we can understand the comments from the Vilna Goyin. The Vilna Goyin held over there in your day on hilchos kibud grandparents. Dirak ben haben chay b'choyd avi yavu. Only your son's son has to honor the grandfather. Avo ben habas potel l'chavades avi imay. Let's say you have a grandchild from your daughter. So the grandchild from the daughter doesn't have to honor the grandfather. That was the chiluk that the Vilna Goyin made.
Like everybody.
The granddaughter doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. Correct. They're not mechuyav to teach Torah either. So according to this pshat, it should come out that not only does a grandson not have to honor his mother's father, a granddaughter doesn't have to honor anyone. Correct? So he says he's aiming on the Vilna Goyin. The Vilna Goyin writes in Yerodeya that the chiyuv to honor a grandparent is only one way. It's only your father's father. But your father's mother, you don't have to honor. And he's very bothered. Why is that? So he says, "Dehine hakesef mishnah behelchas talmud Torah shom kasa misaf galei iben bita kaidel ben chaveira." We had this kesef mishnah. Kesef mishnah wanted to know: does your daughter's son take precedence over the neighbor's kid? Right, we know there's a whole hierarchy. There's a hierarchy. There's your son, then your grandson, and then we had another division of your daughter's son. Then there's the neighbor's kid. So the kesef mishnah was mesupik: does your daughter's son take precedence over the ben chaveira? Why the efshir the in kaidel ben chaveira lehechashes chayvav? What's the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah? That the only reason why you have to honor, the only reason why you have to teach your son's son is because you have to teach your son. And somehow that gets pushed over to your son's son. But since I don't have a chiyuv to teach my daughter Torah, so then I don't have to teach my daughter's son either. Avagabi basta, like a memra hachiloi, v'hainu. The kivon, the ain, she'ain chai v'lami Torah es bitoi, since I don't have to teach my daughter Torah, nifsika hacholia, the rope breaks, meaning it's a chain. I have to teach my son, and therefore I have to teach my son's son. But if over here I have to teach my daughter, and then my daughter's son, no, it stops right there. I don't have to teach my daughter. So therefore says the Kesef Mishnah, so he wants to tie it that Vilna Goyin in Yerodeya holds like that side of the Kesef Mishnah, which holds, you don't have to teach your grandson through your daughter, Torah. Says Rabbi Elephant, it works very nicely. If you hold, you don't have to teach your grandson through your daughter, Torah, so then he in return doesn't have to honor you. Because the whole reason why he honors you is because he has to teach you Torah, but he doesn't have to teach you Torah. According to that side of the Kesef Mishnah, that holds that the chiv to teach grandchildren only son to son, not daughter's son, so therefore there's no chiv. So, correct. That's right. Meaning, he's assuming that if you hold that there is no chiv to teach, you're
saying.
That's correct. And be the same. So the Kesef Mishnah wasn't sure how to look at a grandson from a daughter, and he's saying that the Vilna Goyin picks sides. The Vilna Goyin assume that a son from a from a daughter is like Ben Chaver; it's equal. So if it's equal, then I know the chiyuv to mechaber.
Son from a daughter, there's no chiyuv on the daughter's father. Is that because there is a chiyuv on the husband's father? There is another grandfather.
No, that's because the Torah patterned me from teaching my daughter Torah.
So. I get that, but you think there's an underlying assumption. It's not that he's not going to learn Torah. There's another grandfather on the other side. He'll
have that chiyuv. Right. I mean, I don't have the chiyuv vis-a-vis my daughter. Yeah, there might be another person that has to take care of it from his son. Now, the only problem that I have with this whole shtickle Torah is at the end of the day, you have a chiyuv to teach Ben Chaveri. So why don't I have a chiyuv? Why doesn't the neighbor's kid have to stand up for me when I walk into the room? I have to teach him Torah. You know, I have a chiyuv to teach Ben Chaveri. That no one's arguing. So even if my grandson... Right, so and what about the grandson? But with the grandson, it's different. We're saying now the reason why you have to honor your grandfather is so your grandfather has to teach you Torah. So what happens if your grandfather doesn't teach you Torah then? I don't have to stand up for him. I thought the pshat was that since he has a chiyuv to teach you, that you already owe him something. So then why is that different than the neighbor's kid? So you're going to have to say, like you're suggesting, by the neighbor's kid, I only have to teach him if he wants to learn. By the grandkid, maybe I have to teach him if he doesn't want to learn. Maybe that's the chiyuv. So he wants to suggest that's the pshat. So therefore he says very gishmak. That's pshat in the Vilna Goyin. The Vilna Goyin holds you don't have to honor your mother's father because your mother's father doesn't have to teach you Torah. So again, the takeaway from this whole shtickle Torah from Rabbi Elephant is very interesting. He believes that the chiv to honor grandparents is not an independent chiv because we're related through blood. That's not the point. The point is not because we're related. The point is because we have a different level of relationship. And his raya is from in-laws, which is a very stark raya. And you're not honoring your father-in-law because you're related to him. You're not related to your, I mean, you're not blood related to your father. So why are you being mechabedit? For other reasons. So he suggests that's the same thing here also. The reason why you're honoring your grandparents is not because they're my father's father and because we're related and I came from him originally. That's not the pshat. It's because the Torah said he has to teach me Torah, and in return for that, I have to honor. Okay, so let's move on because we're really a little behind schedule over here. Number six, new Gemara. Anyone who teaches his grandson Torah, mala olav akasav, the Torah considers it keilu kibloi mehar sinai. As if you were just makabel the Torah, right? You can relive shvus every day of your life. Whenever you teach your grandson Torah, you're reliving Kabbalah's Torah. Shenemaka says the pasuk, "Vahidatam levanechol of nevanechol." You should teach your sons and your grandson the Samachlein. Right next to that pasuk, it says, "Yoyimashayamatzal fnei Hashem lekech b'chayv." The day you stood in front of Harsina. So the smichas hapsukim teaches you whenever you teach your grandson Torah, it's keilu you makabel Torah mesina. So
the grandson or the son's son.
So Rosh Hashanah is ben benoy. Okay, that's Rosh Hashanah Gemara. Your son's son. So the first question we're going to have to discuss is, and what about if it's not ben benoy? Let's say it's bas benoy. It's your daughter's son. Does that make a difference? Second thing we have to figure out is, what's the big hoopla to teach your grandson Torah? Why does he get so much credit? What's so special about it? Again, it's nice. It's beautiful. See the shenachas. We all agree. Why is there so much, what's the big deal about teaching your grandson Torah? The problem really is, if you take a look very quickly, number 6b, this is probably a typo in the Gemara. If you take a look over at 6b, it says, Ben Lesa Bidfus Ubechol Haksavyad Bibrachas. If you take a look in Mesechus Brachas, I didn't put it on the page, there's the exact same Gemara appears in Mesechus Brachas, which is one difference. It takes out the word Ben Benoy. It just says, Kol Hamalamed as Benoy Tayr. So that changes the whole sugya, right? Mm-hmm. And that's all different sugya. So it's very interesting. If you look in the riff over here, he also takes out the word Ben Benoy. He leaves it strictly a Benoy sugya. Now, the truth is, you have to really ask yourself, the pasuk that the Gemara quoted was saying what? That pasuk was talking about both. So why limit it to one more than the other? I don't know. So the Gemara by us says only grandson. The Gemara over there says only son. I would think a new option. Put the two together is both. Anyone who teaches their son and anyone who teaches their grandson is kilu yamato of neharsin. But again, the Gemara in Brachas clearly omits the word ben benoy and just leaves it as benoy. Okay, let's continue on the Gemara. You'll see why that's relevant in the flow of the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us a story. Reb Chiya bar Abba one day met Yishum Levi. The Shodi Disna Aresha. He threw some makeshift hat on his head. The Kamamti Levi Nukel BeKnishna. He was bringing his son to Yeshiva to Beit Haknesses. So meaning, thank you. He wasn't fully dressed in the, I guess we'll call it today, the rabbinic garb that you would expect to see Yishum Levi in. And he was being asked, "Why are you not, properly dressed?" So he said to him, "Amalei, Michael, what is all this? Get dressed before you take your kid to Beis Medrash." So Amalei, he said to him, "Mizdukta ma'idchse v'idat l'vnecha. Is it so small to you? What it says in the Chazal, v'idat l'vnecha, v'samach l'yem asher amat l'vnei Hashem l'kecha b'chayiv." And I'm saying, I take that very seriously. Shmuel Levi took that very seriously because he was the one who made that connection between the two psukim. So Shmuel Levi is saying, no, I take this very seriously. I don't just wait, take the kid to school whenever there's, whenever I get around to it. I rush. I won't even get fully dressed in the morning. I'll just put on a makeshift head covering so I can go take my son to learn Torah. Now, the way we have it in the Gemara, this is talking about a son, not a grandson. So it's like a shtickle funny Gemara. The first Gemara we started off with was the chashivas of the grandson. Then the story is about a son. So if you change the gear, so like the riff, it's talking about a son. And the next Gemara is talking about a son. The Gemara is very nice. It's a consistent flow. I mean, Yishum Levi said that when you teach your son Torah, it's as if you were at our Sinai. And then the Gemara brings a story to back it, that Yishum Levi rushed out of the house and put a makeshift head on his covering on his head because he wanted to teach his son Torah right away. But if it's a grandson, it's an interesting story. The Gemara is talking about the importance of teaching your grandson Torah. And the next thing in the Gemara is a story about a son. It doesn't really flow so nicely in the Gemara. But again, if you go like the riff and you take out the word ben benoy and just benoy, then it's like a very beautiful story backing up the original concept found in the Gemara.
Then you have a problem with the pasuk.
Then you have a problem. Well, again, it does say banecha in the pasuk.
Yeah.
It doesn't say banecha. It happens to also say b'nei banecha. We'll come back to that in a second. So we'll see that maybe the pshat in the pasuk really is teaching your son, and by doing so, you will be teaching the next generation. Meaning, not so much that you'll actively teach the next generation. That's how you're passing the Messiah on, and that will lead to the future of Klal Yisrael.
What does it say to your son?
It doesn't sound like it's not a son. The Kamamtila Yanuka. Yeah, you're right. It could be. It could be that might be the other answer. If you're going to have to say, according to those Rishonim, that a guy was his grandson, you'll have to say that Yanuka was his grandson. And Achanami, it's a good point. The Gemara is not clear who the kid was. It doesn't say who the child was. Yeah, it was. It could. The Gemara just calls it a Yanuka.
Grandson really only becomes Shayat if, for whatever reason, the father is
not. We talked about that at length. It's a big machloikis, Kanira. The Meiri assumes, the Stipler assumed like that, that the grandfather only steps in up when the father is unavailable. But if the father's around, then the father, grandfather is not involved. No, the Gemara doesn't sound like that.
How is he teaching anything to a Yanuka?
A Yanuka usually means very young.
Yeah,
the baby. So if you look at the writing of the Gemara, so the Gemara says, oh, Kanveilach, after this story, Bechir Baraba loitoim umtsa. He wouldn't eat umtsa ad-mikru li-yanuka umasifu. He would not do anything. He wouldn't eat umtsa, the Gemara Rashi says, was a certain type of breakfast they used to have. It was meat. They used to have meat breakfast. Today we don't eat meat breakfast, most of us. It's funny, the goyim have no problem eating meat breakfast. It's because we in Judaism have this fear of being fleishig. Called fleishigitis. We all have it. Fleishigitis. We're afraid to become fleishig because someone's going to bring in boatloads of free ice cream and we're going to miss out on it. It's true. I have this with my kids every time. They don't want to come flation because they think someone's dropping off ice cream that we don't know. I tell them, look in the freezer. There's no ice cream. Don't worry. You can eat the flation. But we in Judaism have flationitis, so we don't eat. But the goyim won't do it. I always thought the pshat was because meat is heavy. It sits on you. The goyim do it. They have no problem. They can eat the burgers and the bacon, and they seem to manage. The teretz is because they can have milk right after, and they can have coffee, whatever else they do. So apparently, they used to eat this so this meat in the morning. So the Gemara Reb Chiya was saying, I stopped eating that until I started to teach Taira to my, again, Yanuka, I don't know who he is, Umasifa. Not only would I teach him, I would also add something new. We'd chazer and add something new. I mean, it wasn't enough just to learn, review what we learned, we'd also add something new to it. Then the Gemara concludes, Rabbi Baravuna, like Tom Umsa, Ademaisa, Yanuka, base Midrasha, until he brought Yanuka to the base Medrash. Okay, so this is all bringing out the point of how important it is to teach either Taira to one's son or to one's grandson.
Also, your time to Ruth.
That's right. That's right. It's Rizus, right away. No wasting time. Now, the question that the Achrayim talk a little bit about is, what's the big deal? Like, why is it so special? Teach your son Taira, teach your grandson Taira. Why is it like Ki'ilu Yomai Bet Harsina? So if you take a look at the Sefer HaMakom, number 7.
As opposed to a Rebbe teaching.
Exactly. Classroom. As opposed to just, you know, it's a regular mitzvah. Yeah. Right. It's a regular mitzvah. You don't say that when you put on tefillah, it's Ki'ilu, you know, now you're Oymei Bet Harsina. What's so special? If you look at the Sefer HaMakom, he's a very beautiful pshat over number 7. He writes, Nira Lefarish, Nesha Omru Chazal, Ein Adoyme L'Shemeh Mepi Arav, Oy Sheshama Mepi HaTamad. We all know that when you hear things from the source, it's a lot better than you hear it from secondhand. And everything you hear from secondhand is always a little different. And there's a medrash that says that at Har Sinai, Imam on Shavuos, after Hashem said, or Moshe said the Dibros, there was no machloek is what Moshe Rabbeinu said, which is amazing. Because every single time someone says something, there's three sheets is what the person just said. I told you over many times, a guy told me, a Rav told me he was by Rav Moshe, someone would bring in a shout to Rav Moshe, they all huddle around to hear Rav Moshe Psak. For the next day, they'd fight what Rav Moshe said. They were all there. They were all in front of Rav Moshe, and they all had a different opinion of what Rav Moshe said. So by Aseres HaDibros, when Moshe gave the Torah, no one had, it wasn't like there was a breakup. No, Moshe didn't meant this. No, everyone agreed Moshe held this, and he said this. So it says the Makna, when you have Torah, there's always a breakdown, right? Someone once told me, you only make it big in Rabbanus when you're quoted wrong. That's when you make it big. They quote you right, no big deal. When they quote you wrong, and you say, this is mutter, this is us, and now you know you made it, right? We all know. Right? You hear, how many times have we heard Pesachim, this Rav said this, and this Rav said that, and you ask him, he's like, I never said any of that. It's not true. Because that's what happens, the more you get removed from the original source, it gets perhaps less accurate. So says the Sefer HaMakom, when you go up generations, the Torah is more closer to its original source. Right? Your grandparents and great-grandparents had a better Messiah than we have today. They were one generation closer, right? The European generation had a Messiah from those, you know. The more higher up you go, you have a closer Messiah. He says, right? We know the further you're away from Moshe Rabbeinu, the less clear it is what the halach is, right? That's just natural mitzvahs in life, that you're further away from the original source. So he says, beautiful. He says, this is why you should teach So that's why the grandfather has to teach. Because he has that authentic Messiah. He's one generation closer to that Messiah. It's a beautiful idea. Very nice idea for Mr. Pshatl or for anything. The Hafla. Hafla, he writes over here, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer, the brother of the Nicholsberger. not the current one, but the one from the Chassidish one that everyone talks about from Nicholsburg. This was his brother, the Hafla. He was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer. So he says the beauty of Shmuelka from Nicholsburg. That's what I'm thinking about. His brother was Shmuelka from Nicholsburg. And they sound very different. They both were German, for the record. But in any case, says the Hafla, the closer you get to original Messiah, it's more accurate. So that's what you want to give over to your grandchildren. The more closer we get to original Kabbalah Satur, the holier we are. Here's my Reb Yaakov, that he was sitting with someone on the plane, and they were very impressed how their grandchildren kept coming over to Reb Yaakov and asking him, how you doing? Are you comfortable? So it's a different version of who the person was on the plane. But the L'chol HaShit is it was probably a non-religious member from the Israeli government. Again, the way I saw it, there's a lot of different versions.
I'm older than you.
Right. So they said that the reason why your grandchildren are being mechabed you. So he said, because we believe that grandparents are closer to the original tradition. The way he said, you believe that grandparents are closer to the apes because they came from the monkey. So why do you want to honor them? We believe our grandparents were closer to the original Kabbalah Satira. That's why we want to honor them. Again, different versions who we said it to. And everyone has their own twist on it, but I think overall the story is somewhat accurate story. So Al-Kopanim, the takeaway over here, said the Sefer Makna, that's the beauty. When you teach Torah to your grandson, you're giving him over a more authentic Messiah HaTorah that you had. You had Rabbeim that this child will not have. His Rabbeim are not as old as your Rabbeim, and you have Mamash, an authentic, you know, Messiah HaTorah that you can't give over to anyone else. And he ends up...
I was going to say, it's a beautiful idea, but it doesn't work with the Gemara and Brahmas.
Right, if it's Benoit, it doesn't work. Right, this is going if it's Ben Benoit, right. This is if you assume it's Pshat as Ben Benoit. Then he says, V'chein hu ha-gemol b'zeh, shu mechav ha-lumad as Ben Benoit k'day l'karev kabbalah. So he says, that's the end of the Gemara. Why is it k'ilu kabbalah ha-sinai? Because I'm trying to make it as authentic as kabbalah ha-tayra. When I'm teaching my grandson, I'm trying to be as authentic as kabbalah ha-tayra. Oh, so that's why it's k'ilu you're at kabbalah ha-tayra. Very gishmak. So they say, V'amakin, now we understand why is it, what meaning, why did Hashem decide to make teaching your grandson like kabbalah ha-tayra? The answer is, because what was kabbalah ha-tayra? The most authentic Messiah ha-tayra possible. Right, that was the closest chain from Moshe Rabbeinu. So when you teach your grandson, you're giving him that most authentic possibility of Torah, and that's why it's Ki'ilu, you were at Har Sinai. If you take a look at number 10 in the Radal, in the back of the Gemara, he goes Stamazi on the Gemara. What's the big deal about Kol HaMelamed B'nai Torah, Malo Kosev Ki'ilu, Lom De'Loyal of Noyal Nei Beisai Atzor Kodesh? We had this Gemara. The Gemara said, if you teach your son Torah, as if you taught all the future generations. Why? So he explains, Shekivan Shul Yilmad Lebenoi, Vaben Mitzvah Lelame, Leben Benoi, Vikaima Ide Mashu Lamdoi, Hu Nimtza Kulon Poyim Bezer Shalomar Huvnoi. Think about this. You have an amazing power as a parent. You teach your son, you give him all the proper values, and he gives it to the next generation. So you look back, who's responsible for that? That was you. They call the patriarch of the family. You started this whole tradition. You gave over to him, and he gave over to him, right? It's very nice. You teach your son Torah, but if you don't teach your son Torah, and he doesn't know he has to teach to the next generation, it stops right there. So the beauty of Messiah HaTorah, he says, is that if you give your son the proper values, then he'll give to his son, then he'll give to his son. So it's Taki, you'll get the credit. You'll be considered as if you taught all these generations. So it's an amazing schus that we have to be able to, this is how we build very Darius of Klal Yisrael. You teach one generation, you give them what they need, and we hope, and we daven, a lot of tefillah, that they pass it on to the next generation. Okay, this was all last week. Now we got to get into this week's shir. Very gishmak asuya. So this is continuing on in the Gemara. The Gemara says, what's pshat in the pasuk? Pasuk we say every single day, twice a day. V'shinan tom levanecha. Says Nechumish, v'shinan tom levanecha. So if everyone remembers, this pasuk, v'shinan tom levanecha, is not where we learn the mitzvah to teach your children Torah. It's where we learn from this pasuk, v'shinan tom levanecha, the Sefri says, Eilu Talmidim. The Sefri writes, this pasuk is where we learn the mitzvah to teach Talmidim. There's no other pasuk in Chumash that learns that you have to teach the neighbor's kid. It's from the Sefri on this pasuk. V'shinan tam levanecha. Now, if you keep in mind, v'shinan tam levanecha is in the first parasha of Kriya Shema. The second parasha of Kriya Shema is where we have ulamata moisim es b'necha. So if you remember, we pointed out, we'll come through it again today, why is it that when you're coming in the Chumash, so the first parasha of Kriya Shema is v'shinan tam levanecha. The Gemara says, no, that's not your children, that's Talmidim. Ulamata moisim es b'necha, all those b'necha are your children. Why didn't you learn the first parasha to be your children and the second one to be Talmidim? Meaning, why do we skip? You're going through the Chumash. In the first parasha, you see is Shema. And in Shema, you have a pasuk, v'shinan tom levanecha. So most of us would assume, elu banecha, v'shinan tom levanecha. Teach your sons. The Gemara says, no, this pasuk is not for sons. What sons? The next parasha. You get the second parasha of Kriya Shema, and you get to the pasuk, v'mata moisim es b'nechem, that's your sons. Okay. Keep that in mind as we'll go through. Says the Gemara, al tikri v'shinantem. The Gemara says, don't read that pasuk v'shinantem, ela v'shilashtem. Instead of reading it v'shinantem, you should read it v'shilashtem. What does v'shilashtem mean? Says the Gemara, lo'olam yashlush adam shnoisa. Person should always divide his years, his life, into three. Shlish be Mikra, a third of your life you should study Mikra. Shlish be Mishnah, a third of your life you should study Mishnah. Shlish be Talmud. So Pashup Shat in the Gemara, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud means Mikra means Tanakh. Mishnah means Mishnayis, and Talmud means Gemara. See, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch Paschal like that also, that's not what it means. Shlish be Mikra means Kipshuto, you learn the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. Mishnah means Mishnah and Gemara. Talmud is basically Shas and Shuvis, Sakalocha, Lomdis, that's all included in Talmud. But the Gemara says you have to divide your days. A third of each. Fact, the Gemara, Mia
Day. Or your year.
So the Gemara assumes like you have to divide your life. Fact, the Gemara, Mia Day Kamachaya. Does anyone know how long they're going to live? Okay, it maps out his life. What's going to happen? He's going to say, okay, so I plan on living 75 years. Okay, so I'm going to divide that into three. So the first 25, right? And then it doesn't work out. So, fact, again, there's a lot of different ways to learn the Gemara's Kasha, but Hoshim Shah and the Gemara is, Mia Day Kamachaya. How can you make such a calculation? You don't know how long you're going to live. So the answer is you're right. Like Sricha Liyoimi. You could do it Liyoimi. Now, what does it mean Liyoimi? So let's look in Rashi. It says Rashi, Elo Vishilashtem, Medeloiksev Vishanisem, Sheyashlimam, Sheyashlisham. So yeah, this is also a big discussion. I'm not spending too much time in it. What exactly is wrong with the Pasuk Vishinantim that you have to read it differently? Sounds like a pretty nice Pasuk Vishinantim. You should study. You should learn. So Rashi says that it should have said Vishanisem, which means you should study and review. Vishilashtem sounds like there's more than just one or two, it's even three. So that's always a good question. When you have an al-tikri, so the Chumash could have wrote it that way. Good question, 100%. It's a very good question. So the Gemara answers, what's l'yoymi? Yemei ha-shvua. So Rashi learns you divide the week. Right? So you have 7 days in the week, so you divide it. What's the problem? So Tosis affects that kasha. Tosis has that kasha. We'll get to that at the bottom of the page. Tosis has that kasha. No, you can't do that. It's too risky. How do you going to make it through the week? Which many Echbarim say, come on, that's already not so crazy. People make it 3 weeks. Years is a different story. But Tosis has the kasha. Right, Tosis has the kasha. So Rashi Kipshuta Yimei Shvua means you divide a week into 7 days and you learn, promise, what's the Avis kasha? It's one extra day. So someone told me that's it. Chazar, that's what they're doing. So if you look in Rishon, I have it on the page. We'll get to it later. The Rimululul and Avoy Dezara, the same Gemara appears in Avoy Dezara Daf Yates. We'll see why that's important because we're going to go through the Rishon over there a little bit later. Later on the next week, the Rimu Lanil and Avodah Zarah says Shabbos is for Chazar. Someone thought, what do you mean? Shabbos is for not learning. What do you mean? It's a Kipshuta. You learn Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Shang, you're done. Shabbos, you relax. You read the paper and go to sleep. No, okay. Obviously, we don't believe in that. So Shabbos is Taka for Chazar. And they bring down, we'll get to that, there's Taka, though, there are people that are very makrid on Shabbos not to learn anything new, only to Chazar. Shabbos is only meant for Chazar, not to learn anything new. Mm-hmm. Some people are makrid, they don't learn anything on Shabbos. Or two, they may come to learn something new. They learn nothing. They don't have to review either. But it's like an interesting shot. According to Rashi, it's breaking up. L'yoymi means the days of the week. We'll see B'l-Nedah probably next week. Tosfos on L'yoymi means the day itself. You split the day into three parts, which obviously is...
Same question also.
In the day?
Yeah, why not?
Tosfos
a week, so...
Yeah, so two is Achrein, we'll ask on Tosfos. What do you mean, a week? Sure. Right, we gotta have a cutoff somewhere. So some people say even a week is manageable. So we'll come back there. But Rabbi said, yes. So we're gonna talk about this. Believe the next week we're gonna go into this very much about the style of learning in the yeshivas. Yeah, I'm not one of those guys who like to rail on. I know certain people, famous Magid Yeshuim and Dafyemi, recently railed on the yeshiva system about that they don't cover enough ground. They don't know cover enough ground. I was in the yeshiva system. We do not cover enough ground. We learn maybe 8 to 12 blot a year, and that's embarrassing. But we'll see. They don't learn anything. Exactly. So we'll see. There's Rabbeinu Tam. There's a Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos. We'll get to it. Rabbeinu Tam says that when you learn Gemara, you get all three. Because Gemara has Mikra Mishnah. And we'll get to it. The problem with that is that's only if you learn many blot. If you learn one blot, Lav Davki, you know, you hit everything on one blot. So we'll get to it. We'll talk a little bit next week about it. About how, again, in Europe, this was not the practice. The Volozhin Yeshiva learned Brachas through Nida straight. Straight. No stopping, no jumping, no yeshiva shemesachdas. Again, the truth is, not enough people talk about this. Now again, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik changed the whole playing field of learning. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik changed the whole style of learning. And it's amazing to me they didn't have more pushback. Maybe they didn't know folks about it. But Reb Chaim changed the whole way of learning. It used to be before Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, people learned tons and tons of what? Look at all that Achrayim. Pnei Yeshua, all their style of learning was not a Chakira. It was all Gemars, here Gemars. They knew everything. Then Reb Chaim came and made it much more analytical. When you do more analytical, you learn much less. Chaim Grader knew everything, but the Talmidim end up becoming more lomdis chakira and less covered. You know, the famous joke, guy makes a chakira in Daf Beis, he gets the Daf Gimel, he realizes it's not a chakira, it's before the Gemara. But you don't know until you get the Daf Gimel, right? Guy makes a whole chakira in Daf Beis, he's all excited, he doesn't realize it's before the Gemara, Daf Gimel. It's a problem. The yeshiva system does need a little bit of a. They're trying. There are programs. Even when I was in yeshiva, there are programs to try to finish Masechtos. But it is definitely. Right. There has to be a thin line between the Imbikias. Now they call it Ian Kal. It's the Nushprachdis. Second Seder.
That's what Second Seder is for.
That's what Ian Kal is. Ian Kal basically means you're learning Lumdus Baiter. So, you know, covers much ground. It's a problem. Again, I know a lot of.
Oh, Gera of Sith changed everything.
That's right. Gera was also a big split. That was a big split. No, that was part of the fight in Gera was, should you go back to the quicker style of learning? The Rosh Yeshiva, the Gera Yeshiva wants to learn like the old yeshivas. Like we do in the Litvish Yeshiva, slow. But the regular Gera, they move like the rest of the Chassid make fun of me. It's a joke what we do. They cover so much ground. They just keep going. They go straight. They learn everything. They don't skip around. We're learning halacha. I skip around the siman. They're not relevant. They learn every siman in Shulchan Aruch. But every basic yeshiva and everything, I skip. I say, you guys are funny. Like, how can you skip? I said, because it's not relevant. We're learning about, I don't know what, some milking a goat or something on Yom Tov. I'm not milking a goat on Yom Tov. I got no halacha. What am I saying? They want to learn every stickle. Okay, it's a different way of learning. But we'll have to talk a little bit more from the sugya, from the Rishayim. It's going to come out a little bit in the Rishayim. But the Marshal, he has a Gevaldik Kasha. Correct the Marshal. One second. Let's read this Gemara one more time. The Gemara is quoting the Pasuk of the Shinantam Levanech. Who's that Pasuk referring to? So it's either, again, we'll see the Marsha and the Machna both think it's referring to sons, even though we learned already it's not, but we'll have to deal with that. So what does this Pasuk mean? You should teach your sons in a third, meaning not yourself. When you read this Gemara, it sounds like you're talking to me. Me and you are, again, we always talk about this. There's two separate mitzvahs. There's your mitzvah tamatara vis-a-vis your son and possibly your grandson. Then there's your own chiyuv tamatara. Your chiyuv tamatara is you have to know everything. You have no excuses. Your son, maybe you can get away with only teaching him Mikra, maybe a little bit, maybe Machlokes Rashi and other Rishonim, if it's Tanakh or just Torah. But your own Chiv, you got to learn everything. So when you read this Gemara, Kibshutoi, the Gemara sounds like it's your Chiv. I, as an adult, who's a Bar Mitzvah, has a mitzvah to learn all of Torah. And therefore, the Gemara is giving me an Eitzah that I have to set up my life so I cover all grounds. Frekta Marshah, one second. If the pasuk that we learn this from is the pasuk of Vishinantam Levanecha, that pasuk is talking about teaching your sons. So therefore, says the Marshal, if it's talking about teaching your sons, then what does it say very clearly? You have to teach your son Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud. That's against the Gemara earlier. We had a Gemara earlier. The Gemara said, once you teach your son Mikra, you're done. All you got to do is Mikra. In fact, the Marshal, what are you talking about? It says in the Gemara, you got to teach your son Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So it's a steer in the two Gemaras. As I fact the Marshal. Let's see it inside. Fact the Marshal number three. Yeshul Dakte. The mash with the chayiv adam gamlin lomaydim benoi mikra mishnah betalmud. It sounds like from this gemara that you do have to teach your son more than just chumash. You got to teach him mikra mishnah and talmud. Why? Correct. That's correct. Meaning this, right, this drusha that we learn should be a steerer to what we've learned till now. Why? Tal vishinantam levanecha ksiv. Because the pasuk where we learn it from is vishinantam levanecha. Uleel makshina. And earlier we had the pshitas l'shmua mibraisa dektani lomda mikra ein malamda mishnah. And we had a Gemara about 10 lines earlier where the Gemara said very clearly that once you teach your kid Chumash, you are done. So, frek the Marsha, it's a steer between the two Gemaras. Do you have to teach your son more than Chumash, or you only have to teach your son Chumash? And for the Marsha, an unbelievable Chumash. Says the Marsha, V'yesh Liyash. The Hach Braisa, the Le'eloi, Ayri Ella, Beben Benoi. That Gemara, that was talking about a grandson. Kedemasik is moving and done. That's right. So, if a grandson, you only have to teach him Chumash. Says the Marsha, two different Gemaras. That Gemara that says you only have to teach your son Mikra wasn't talking about a son, it's talking about a grandson. The Enachlami, grandson's only Mikra. Aber a son? Avadi, you got to teach him everything. Soup to nuts. Now, this is a major nafkamina lahalacha. Why? Because if you have to teach your son everything, so then you got to pay tuition for everything. I let the example, let's say we learned last time, you only have to teach your son Mikra. So we pointed out after he hit the sixth grade, they stopped learning Mikra. It's not learning Gemara. I don't have to pay for my son to learn Gemara. That's free. Go for it. You can't charge me for that. But if you hold like this Marsha, you have to teach your son everything. So the guy teaches on everything. So until he's an expert in Mikra, Talmud, and everything, you got to keep on paying for it. Now we'll see that the Mechaber doesn't pass him like that. The Mechaber holds you don't have to pay past Mikra. But the Marsha, according to the Marsha, that the Chi of Talmud Torah of a father extends for everything. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Shas, and Shulis, everything continues. How, yeah.
Marsha points out a very good point. So now it should know so.
Who's exactly. Right, so now when you have to reread the Gemara, it's not mine, but it's my kids.
Or
mine vis-a-vis teaching. Exactly. That's why you have to read the Gemara. Meaning, when you read the Gemara initially, you don't feel the Gemara is talking about that. According to my show, the Gemara is not talking about my days. It's talking about his.
And exactly. No, in other words,
correct.
Your son is 45 years old. He's got
kids or grandkids of daughters.
Until he gets
there's
to...
No, there's no age cut off for the parents.
According to this, it sounds like not. We pointed that out from the Aruch HaShulchan and the Stipler. The Stipler used to live with Abraham Kreevsky until he died. He felt that he wasn't Mekayim the mitzvah. Halavai. So we had that kasha, right? We had a kasha. If Yaakov had a kasha, how do you learn the Mishnah that it says, right, the Mishnah, what do you mean? But the father's not obligated anymore. According to this mashah, he is.
And the shlish. That's why it's shlish.
Right, it's very gishma. According to this mashah, which again, mashah ends off, Aval Harosh Lakosav Kid. He ends off that the Rishayim disagree with him. Right, the Marshal was an early Achron, but again, he's still an early Achron. He says, but the Rosh is clearly not like me. The Rosh says, so the Marshal changes the whole sugya. Now, he might answer some kashas along the way, but Lamai said it's a big chiddush in this Marshal. The Marshal holds that the chiv to grandfather is tak only mikro, the chiv for a son is everything. And this goes back to what we keep on talking about the last couple of weeks. How do we look at the chiv of a father to a son and a grandfather to his grandson? Clearly, they're different chiyuvim. Clearly, you can't get bigger rye than this. Because to my son, I have to teach him everything. To my grandson, I have to teach him mikra. What's the difference? The answer is be soide. They're a different chiyuv. It's a different type of chiyuv. First of all, they learn from different places, and they're coming from different soides. It's a different meaning. The chiyuv to teach your grandson is not the same thing as teaching your son. All right, you don't have the same material. The Torah didn't demand as much of you for your grandson as it did for your son. Correct. Yeah, you would think you should teach him everything. Yeah. Is that meant from the marshal that? When it comes to mikra, that, I guess, mikra is, I guess, Sinai, so that's the most important. Everything else, you don't have to teach them.
So what's the Shinan from the
Benecha? Oh, that's the problem. Very good. The problem with this Maharsha is, the Maharsha made up a comment. The Maharsha assumes that the Shinan from the Benecha is referring to your Banim. It's not true. Shinan from the Benecha is Eil Talmidim. It's not Banim. Well, what's the Maharsha talking about? The Maharsha Shparzi is a major Chiddush Lalacha. He comes out, but based on this Gemara, you see that there's a chiv to teach your sons all of Torah, because it says in the Pasuk, Mishan Antam Lanech, but that Pasuk is not talking about your sons. It's Sifri. But there's no Gemara. No, there is no Gemara anywhere that says, no, I'll prove it to you. Yeah, but the problem is when the Gemara learns out, the Gemara, we had this Gemara, Chof Tesam is based. The Gemara says, how do you know you have to teach your son Torah? The Gemara said from the Pasuk, not from the Pasuk, Mishan Antam Lanech.
Why?
We'll get to that in a second. We'll see why in a minute. But the facts are, L'chayra, that if someone asks a trivia question, where do you learn that the father has to teach you some Torah? And he answers the Pasuk of Matam Vishanat Mavnecha, I'd give him wrong. Wrong. It's not true. So the Pasuk of Matam Mavnecha. What do we learn from Vishanatam? It'll Talmidim. So the Marsha's Chiddush is still true, just not with your son, but it's true with your Talmidim. Meaning the same idea just has to be transferred over to a different party.
Even after you tell me, you can't discount the
pasuk. Why didn't the Gemara use this pasuk initially to teach me the chiyuv to teach your sons? Well, this is not my kash. The Pnei Shu asked the kash. I'm not. So take a look over the Sefer. Not necessarily. No, that's correct. Mishinantam we're going to learn in the next Gemara is a much deeper understanding. Yeah, that means you should notify them. Correct, but who's meaning? I thought when I read this Gemara, it's almost like you take the word Vishilantem, Jashim Vishilashim, and cut off the second half of the puzzle. Meaning, it's not who you're talking to, it's the concept. That's why I learned the Gemara before I saw the Marsha. Now I see the Marsha is saying, no, the puzzle is talking about who are you Vishilashim to. I mean, before I saw this Marsha, I learned the Gemara like that. The Gemara reads like this: I'll take you Vishilantem, El Vishilashim, stop. That's it. The lesson of life is Vishilashim. Who for you? Like, it's almost like you stop the pasuk midway. But the Marsha is clearly not going that way because Marsha is having a girl.
It's not like it says a word
that's. No, the Gemara clearly did not use this pasuk to teach it to me. Well, the Pnei Shu is going to explain. We'll come back to it. So if you look over at number four in this Sefer Dibur Moshe, he points this out. He says, yeah. Shlashim means to make it into threes. You're learning.
Your son,
that's
a fear for three different kinds of people. Your son, your grandson, and
the neighbor's
child.
But the Gemara doesn't say that.
And the other pasuk is just for
your children. But the Gemara says, the Gemara explains, what does it mean? La'olam yishalish yashlish adam tzaytum. So be. Yes, that's what we come back to. That's not by bonim, that's by talmidim. Now your kid doesn't, you don't have to make your kid into the next godly. We'll come back to that. It's going to be a very important kudam.
Isn't your ben your Talmud also, if you're teaching him?
Yes, but there's definitely going to be, as we saw in the Rambam, there's a chiyuv to Ben and there's a chiyuv to Talmidim, and they're not the same. Ben has kedima over Talmidim. Oh, very good, right. So let's see.
Under this Gemara,
you have to teach everybody
everything.
But your special halacha of teaching your son only applies to Mikvah.
And that's right.
Backwards.
Correct.
But maybe that's
correct. The case that, that might be the way we're going to have to learn. Again, the Marsha is not learning that way. Right? The Marsha is learning Kipshuta. Right. So if you look over in the Sefer, number four in the Sefer Devar Moshe, contemporary Sefer, he points out this obvious observation. He says, the Marsha is a pillar. We know this because we spoke about this in the past. The pasuk of v'shinantal v'necha is not talking about your children; it's talking about your students. K'deisa b'sefri u'mishum hachi, and that's why betchilas asoya in the beginning of the Gemara, way back in Chavtes and Beis, loyhevi ha'gemara es pasuk azek shemakar la'adchayv adam lo mes b'nei teira elavi es pasuk shalu matam moisem es b'nechem k'may shebir apnei yeshua shom, which we'll see in a minute. Again, the kash on the marsha is that's not what the pasuk is referring to. Limatam mois v'shinantal v'necha does not mean your sons. It means you tell me them. So how could the Marsha come up with this whole new chiddush that since our pasuk is talking about your son, then the pasuk over here says you got to split into three. So you learn from here, you have to teach. This is a massive chiddush that the Marsha is building based on a, I don't mean to chas v'shalom, but on a false premise. Well, this pasuk. That what?
If you, teach, if you have a, this obligation to teach your students, how much more so you have for your son?
Well, we're going to learn that that's exactly the point. We're going to see that from the Pnei Yeshua, and Chaim Volozhin has a famous piece also, that there's actually a fundamental difference between what you have to teach your sons and what you have to teach your students. We demand a lot less of your children than we do of our students, which actually makes sense, because students used to be handpicked. Meaning they came to you because they want to learn more. Your children, they are who they are. You can't necessarily pick children, right? So it's a big yisoy. So Chaim Volozhin has a very beautiful piece in I think it's the Nefesh HaChaim, where he points out there's the difference in the first parasha of Kriyat Shema and the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. Remember, we started talking about the first parasha of Kriyat Shema is where you have the pasuk v'shinantam avanech. That is not sons. The second parasha of Kriyat Shema, that's where you do have sons. The first parasha of Kriyat Shema is very loshen yachid. It's always singing in the singular. Second parasha of Kriyat Shema is loshen rabbim. It's the plural. The answer is because the world can do a lot more, meaning it's much harder to demand on the entire world a certain behavior than you could of the yechidim. The pasuk v'shinantam avanech is not referring to everyone's son. Because the Gemara is going to learn, Blined, we'll get to it maybe next week. It says that we learn from this pasuk that everyone has to be so sharp that if you ask them any question, they can respond. You can't demand it of everyone's child. You can demand it of your students. Students are expected to perform. Children are children. They can all do it, you know, as best as they could. So the Chaim Volozhin brings out from here that the first parasha of Kriyat Shema is in the singular because it's only for a very select people. Second parasha of Kriyat Shema is for everyone. Everyone who can handle it is a much broader group. So we'll come back to that. We'll talk a little more about that also. Yeah.
Just on the drasha.
Yeah.
So Shinantam Venech is your Talmidim, right?
The way we have it in the Sifri, right?
And we see last time,
mm-hmm.
You said triple it. Right?
Yeah.
The way we have it. But how does that Limud, Long Yishalei Shadam Shnosav, come from Shinantam?
That's another good kasha.
That doesn't flow.
Right. I mean, it sounds like how long are they going to live? Meaning, I don't know how long my kid is going to live. Not a question of how long I'm going
to
live.
No, but is this an instruction to the Rebbe that when you teach the children, you should teach them?
Right. It sounds like, again, the way you're going to learn according to the Marsha, it's talking not about you yourself. It's talking about those that are teaching others, either be your son or your child or your Talmidim, but it's not a direct commandment to you.
But
it looks like exactly. The Lashon is not like that. So we'll see in the Rambam, the Rambam sounds like it's talking to me and you. Right. Famous Rambam, we'll get to Bli Nezer. The Rambam writes, so how do you do this? So the Rambam says, well, you have a 12-hour day. Talk to the Rambam, so you learn for, that's famous Rambam, you learn about 9 hours. And the Rambam says, of the 9 hours that you learn, and then the rest of the day, it's after you read the beginning of the Rambam, you're like, what? 9 hours a day? He says for people that work. He's not talking about people in Kairos. He says, for people that work, so they work, they learn for 9 hours. So we'll get to Bli Nezer next week. We'll see how. It sounds like from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, we're not talking about.
He's telling you how to divide your
day. How to divide your own day. Yes, I agree. This Marsha does not seem, again, I have a hard time understanding how you read it back into the Pshuta in the Gemara. Correct. Now let's take a look at the Pnei Yeshua. This Pnei Yeshua is actually on Chavtes Amud Beis, on the Gemara, number 5, where the Gemara teaches us how do you have a, where's the mitzvah to teach your son Torah? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk of Limar Tamaisim Es Benechem. Correct the Pnei Yeshua. How do Limaisim Mikrod Vishinan Kabul Venecha? Ask the Pnei Yeshua the $1 million question. Why didn't the Gemara think that the source to teach you some Torah is the first pasuk that appears in Kriyat Shema, the pasuk of Shinantam Lanecha. Nira says the Pnei Yeshua Mishum Dehasam Lavibon Amamish Ayri, because that pasuk is not talking about biological children. Elo B'Talmidim. That pasuk is talking about students. Kemishkas of Rashi, Lehedjah, Beferish HaChumash, like Rashi says on his commentary to the Chumash, that what? Shatamidim Kriyibonim V'humiloshen HaSifri. So now that doesn't answer the question.
That's why.
It doesn't answer the question. The question is, so why? Right? Who told Rashi to learn that way? Shinantam is to teach. 100%. It's not. It's just that from the word Vishinantam, we come up with this new drasha of Vishilashtam. Right? So the question is, who are we talking about in the story? Right? Who's the Bonecha? So Zah says the Pnei Yeshua, he blames it on Rashi and Chumash. Rashi, it's Rashi and Chumash's word. Rashi and Chumash says that Vishinantam of Vanecha means you're Talmidim. Okay. Who told Rashi? Oh, the Sifra. Well, who told the Sifra? Okay. We'll go back. Who we start off with? Who can we blame? Says the Pnei Yeshua Apshat. Leniz Daiti, Shizeh HaPirush Mucha. Says the Pnei Yeshua, no, it's not Stam. It's a free thought. It means this way. It has to be this way. Why? He says, The Amiloshim Mishinantem, the Ashina Mishmaithim, Shidivitay Mukhudadim Mepich. The Gemara is going to learn on the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara is going to learn out another drush. Not only do we learn from the word Vishinantem, Vishilashtem, we also learn from the Loshim Vishinantem that the Torah has to be so sharp that any question you're asked, you shoot out an answer right away. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Lo Shaykh El Betalmidim. You can't expect that for your children. That's for Talmidim, students that are of a certain caliber, that make it into a certain shear. They're expected that they should be able to shoot out answers. The Ibichi of Avala Ben, if it's just referring to a father on a son, Lo Shaykh. How's that possible? Says the Pnei Yeshua. Dor maskina b'samach dein chayv lamdu le mishnah b'le gemara el amikul l'chut. Says the Pnei Yeshua, what do you want the kid to shoot out? He only has to know chumash. So I would have thought he has to be an expert in chumash. Mm-hmm. They have these things in Eretz Yisrael, these chumash spheres, mm-hmm. Tanakh spheres. Mm-hmm. You got to be an expert in Tanakh. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why the Pnei Yeshua didn't think that's what it means in the Gemara. The Gemara says, she debe Torah mukhudad v'ficha means that Torah that he knows, which is Tanakh. He asked the kid a pasuk anyway, Tanakh, he shoots it out. Pnei Yeshua says, no. She Torah mukhudad v'ficha has to be all of Torah. But I don't have to teach my son all of Torah. So how can the Gemara demand of me that my Torah to my... I have to make sure that my the Torah of the student is mukhudad m'pichah. Who are we talking about?
Not sure to know color Torah to it anyway. The whole thing is like, even if you think you know everything.
Right. I guess to whatever extent the Gemara means that it has to be mukhudad m'pichah, the Pnei Yeshua thinks it means all of Torah, not limited to one section of Torah.
Why would he do that command first, and then about teaching your own actual children?
Yeah, it comes out that in the order of the Chumash, the first place we have is students, and the second place is your own biological children.
Because
the second parasha of Kriya Shema was talking to the mass. The first parasha was talking about the individual. Students are individual. Yeah, you know, select group of students. You can demand certain things of them. But the regular
children. No, I understand why it means what it means. But
why did Hashem choose that way?
That first?
Right.
It seemed like the what he says first.
Well, just when Hashem structured the three parashas of Kriya Shema, he put the Yochi, he set it up that the first parasha is talking about the individual. What we call today the Yechidei Skula. The second parsha was for the mass. That's what Chaim Volozhin points this out already. That was the way he did it. Now, says the Pnei Yeshua, he says, Elo mikro l'chur mehaytam agufa, loy shayich ba'avu b'mnoi. Says the Pnei Yeshua, because of this reason, the pasuk can't be talking about a father and son. Why? Haydrosh ed al tukim shinatam el vishalash ed ashinam. El akorch ed tamid amayri. So the Pnei Yeshua points out the same thing as the Sefer, as the Marsha. At this pasuk of vishalashtam is not referring to a father and son. It's referring to students. It's not referring to them. And therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's not pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk does not mean your children, but rather means your student. Okay. So according to Pnei Yeshua, what comes out? Vayter. It means that when you teach to the mass, you have to divide it into three. Which is, again, I guess the way elementary school is supposed to be structured. In the first couple of grades, you learn a little bit. The next couple of grades, a little bit. And then you get the mesifta, and it's just Gemara all day long. But I guess according to Pnei Yeshua, it's a little better. You're dividing up the day. And I think Rabbeim tried to do this in elementary school.
Meeting that we have in the general yeshiva program of the Talmidim that you're talking about here. DJ talking about select Talmidim, like right. Five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva.
Today's much broader.
Today, everybody
is much broader. Today's much broader. Today's much broader. No, 100%. Today, you can't choose your shoes anymore because we take every kid in Baruch Hashem. It's a different story. But they. To some degree,
it's much lesser degree.
It's not as much in the times of the Gemara. You're right. There is some form of selection. There's a lot of other chesbredis that go in. Okay.
Would you say that by a father to a son, you do not have to do vishilashta?
Yes. According to the Pnei Yeshua, you don't. Because this pasuk is not referring to sons. According to the Marsha, it's referring to sons. Pnei Yeshua says absolutely not. Some of the pasuk means. The pasuk means talmidim. So for your son, you only teach him mikvah and then you don't. That's it. So that's my choice between the Pnei Yeshua and the Marsha. Now, even according to the Pnei Yeshua, it's still Shver in the Gemara, because according to this, the Gemara is not talking about you. It's talking about how to teach to others. The Sefer HaMakne has a whole different mahalach over here. A very geshmaka mahalach. He writes, number six. I apologize. I don't have a better print on my computer of the Hafla. If I had, I would not make you all break your eyes on this. I would try to get you a better print. But for some reason, the only print that they have of the Hafla, and the Makne, they have the Hafla nicer print. The Makne wrote the Hafla also. Hafla is Amseches Ktubis. But the Makne that he wrote in Kedushin, for some reason, I can't get a better print. So he writes to this. Omnom, number six. Says the Makna, there's a Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam is the source of that. That when it says in the Gemara, you only have to teach your son Mikra, it doesn't mean that after Mikra, I'm done with my son. It means I only have to pay for Mikra. Everything else I got to do for free, or I could do for free. Meaning when the Torah demanded of a father, the Torah demanded a father pay to teach his son Mikra, if he can't his own. But if I could teach my son Mishnah, of course I have a mitzvah to teach him Mishnah Gemara. I just don't have to pay for it. Meaning I don't have to spend money on teaching him Mikra, but if I know how to teach Mikra, I got to sit down and teach it to him. That's what the Sefer, that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is based on the Ram. So it says the Sefer HaMikta, that's very geshmak now. Now our Gemara is beautiful. In our Gemara, where it says you have to teach your son Shlishma Mikra, Shlishma Mishnah, that means for free. That means without money. The Gemara that we learned 10 lines earlier, where it says you have to only teach your son Torah, that means what you got to pay for. So I only have to pay for Torah. But for everything else, I still have to do it. So according to the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, passes this way, that the obligation to pay stops after mikvah. But after that, you still have a mitzvah. Usually you don't have to pay for the mitzvah. So therefore, says the Makna, everything's beautiful. The Gemara says very clearly that you only have to teach your son mikvah. That means what you got to pay for it. When it says in our Gemara that you got to divide and teach your son all three, that means what you have to do without payment. That's the Makna's answer. Why?
Because the mikvah is a more fundamental...
But the mikra just means that you got to pay for it. It's not telling you how to teach it. It just means that if you have to pay, if it's a question of money, for mikra you'd have to pay. For Mishnah Talmud, you wouldn't have to pay.
So you're supposed to still split it up.
That's correct. Even though in theory, he can't. Only for the other things. Right.
So
right.
Then how do you...
Yeah, you have to work again. I didn't want to go down this route of discussing the whole shayla about tuition, but I want to just point out one more answer to this stira is number seven, the Ramah. Is the Torah quotes a Ramah. The Ramah learned another Gevaldik Yechidish. This is also brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Number seven, left corner. The Chayv Lalamde Bischar at Sheikmet Torah Shebiksav Kuloi. You have to pay to teach your son Torah Shebiksav Kuloi. We pointed out already last time, Torah Shebiksav Kuloi sounds like Tanakh, all 24 books.
Unless you can't do it yourself.
If you want to do it yourself, that's your business. But if you can't, then you got to pay. The Eile Lalamde Bischar Mishnah V'Talmud. But you do not have to pay to teach your son Mishnah and Gemara. That's what we saw in the Gemara. Because of a Ramah, Hanamila Dulaev Shalay Dechikal Shaita. That's only if you can't. Meaning you can't afford it, you don't have the time. So then we say, just teach him Tanakh. In Efshalay, but if you could, Chayv Lagmure Mishnah Talmud Halachas Bahagot. So if you go like this, Ramah, you can also answer up the steer. The Gemara that says you only have to teach your son Torah, that's if you have no other time. You only have X amount of time and X amount of money, that Avadi goes just for Chumash. But if a guy's making a lot of money, he's got a lot of extra time, Avadi has to teach his son everything else. On that, the Gemara says, split your day into three for all the other things. Oh, so I came across a Minchas Chinuch that I thought the Olam would enjoy a little bit. A little off topic, but very, very exciting nonetheless. And we know there's such a thing in Allah called the Tumta Vandragonis. Tumta Vandragonis is a suffix. You don't know if the child is a boy or a girl. And today it's much more discussed in the world around us, but not so much la'alocha, but, you know, genders and things like that. So Mechaz Chinuch wants to know, let's say a person has a baby that's a tum-tum v'adragonis or an adragonis. Does he have to pay tuition for that baby? So what's the shayla? Suffolk. On one hand, it's a suffolk deraisa, a mitzvah to teach your son Torah. It might be a son, might be a daughter. What about pain? You want to get, meaning I want to send my son to the yeshiva without pain. Well, let's keep it simple. You want to get money out of it. You have to prove to me that this child is actually a boy. So the Mechaz Chinuch writes to number eight. So you can say that your son identifies as a girl, and therefore you don't have a chiv tishim Torah, therefore you don't have to pay tuition. Yeah. Try that one. Says the Mechaz Chinuch number eight. B'tumtum v'adroigin is b'vade chayovim misafik. Kichom mitzvah to say. Shanosh b'turis tein chayovim misafik imavor b'ramba. V'chein avihem chayov lulmoid misafik. The father has to teach a tum-tum or an adragonis Torah misafik. Why? Because maybe this baby is a boy. And if it's a boy, I have a chiv to teach him Torah. However, efshur in koifin es aviyam lamda b'schar. But maybe you can't force the father to pay for it. Why? What happens? There used to be, let's say in the neighborhood, all the kids would go to the local yeshiva and all the parents would have to pay. So the father says, I don't have to pay. This baby might be a girl. If this baby's a girl, I don't have to pay anything for its tuition.
Okay.
Don't say it. It's not I have to teach the baby because something that Raisa dictates, I have to teach the baby. Maybe the baby's a boy. But now that money gets involved in the equation, how does that work? With Mominus, we have a rule called Amoitz Mechavel Raisa. You want to make me pay, you got to prove it. So can I claim you don't have enough proof that this baby is a boy to make me pay? But on the other hand...
But it's the father's obligation. He has the fee of the raisa to do it, so he doesn't get the benefit of the son.
The question is, who's the moitzi over here? But the little baby. The two-year-old baby screaming at his father, well, who's the moitzi? I'm moitzi mechaver. So I wanted to tell him, moitzi mechaver means, let's say, the community. The community says all the neighborhood kids that come to school have to pay tuition. So the guy says, I'm not paying tuition. Why? Because prove to me that I have a mitzvah to pay tuition. So again, we're thinking tuition in terms of, you know, you have to pay because we have to pay for staff, and you know, so that's still true. I mean, if your kid comes to class, we still need to have a teacher for him, whether or not your kid's a boy or girl or whatever. But if you look at it as strictly from, if the chiyuv to pay is just because that's my mitzvah, so then I can argue that's not my mitzvah. Prove to me that I have a mitzvah to pay money for this. So the Minchas Chinuch paskins that Yitaka can't force the father to pay because Safik Mammon, the Ein Kam Mekayim. Safik Mammon. So if you take a look over in the Sefer Minchas Moshe, this is where Moshe thinks. Well, what?
Does it make a Berachas HaTorah?
Yeah, the Chayus Berachas HaTorah is a Bracha Deraisa. So that we say Savi Deraisa. No, that's usually not. That's the same Shabbat Ben Shem.
Will
they make Berachas HaTorah? Girls make Berachas HaTorah anyway. We discussed that last week.
We have a Pesach Halach. There's a teaching that a Nagogus is a very Bechnei Atzma. It's not a boy or a girl.
Could be.
So then it's not, you have two tzedan. It's either a boy or a girl.
It's a sex maker.
Yeah,
right, right. So today is not a game because we have a Moshe that says you have to send your girls to school anyway to make sure they stay from, right? This was in the times of the Minchas Chinuch.
They have to learn Sanhedrin or they have to learn Chumash.
Right. Meaning, let's say, for example, you have to force the Rebbe who teaches Gemara. Are they allowed to learn Gemara? Okay, now you got to go back to that Shaila. Can you allow an androgynous to learn Gemara? Right, so on the side that she's a girl. Right, so let's look. So if you look on the Sefer Minchas Moshe, Reb Moshe Finkel, the son of Reb Gedalia Finkel, he stammers, he asks on the Minchas Moshe, he says, "Tzarechin kavanosei." Well, what's the Minchas Chinuch? Harei hachiv lohoitzi momen, eina machmas hatviya shal haben. Why do you have to spend money on this mitzvah? Not because the kid says, Dad, you have to spend money to pay me for my tuition. It's not coming from the child. Right. I mean, I understand. Let's say, for example, this tumtum needed a pair of tefillin. So you have to go. So the father could say, I'm not buying him tefillin because I don't have to spend money to buy tefillin. No. Because if I have a mitzvah, if I'm mitzad, on the tzad that I have a chiv to put him on tefillin, then it comes, that's part of the package. So here also, teaching Torah is a package with... Exactly. So that's the kasha. What's the Minchas Chinuch saying that you have to prove that I can get away with not paying? What do you mean? To the extent that there's a mitzvah to teach us on Torah, part of parcel comes along with the Chiyuv Mamonos.
It's kind of perspective. Uh-huh. Every yeshiva has an obligation to teach every child.
So we're going to see to bleed out the next week is there's a hakir over here, which we never delved into enough. When we say you have to teach your son Torah with money, why is that? Is that because like any of the mitzvah in the world that costs money? Or that's because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is directly connected to spending money? The nafkamina will be the Minchas Chinuch Shailos. We'll see that next week in the mitzvah, we'll move on because we got to learn Slish B'Mikvah, Slish B'Mishnah B'Talmud. We got to keep moving so we can become that Gemara, or at least see how to get out of that Gemara while we're not in a violation of that Gemara every single day of our life. Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, correct. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Hey, take care, everyone. Yeah, Mr. Shem.
I met one of your spouses.
Oh. Thank you,